house to be than on an island of refuge. Amen? Amen. That's going to be our sermon title today. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Good morning, Amazing Grace. And it's a beautiful day the Lord has given us. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we praise you for this beautiful day, and we praise you for every answer to prayer. Lord, we thank you for this reminder to be kind to others, Father God, and that you've instilled that in our hearts, Lord, from our time of birth, Father God. You put that in everyone's hearts, and it's up to us, Lord, to turn and answer that call that you've given us all, Father God. So we praise you, Lord, for this message that reminds us of the great works that Paul did for the church, and the hope and the peace that he brought to all those that he spoke and preached to, Father God. And we thank you for the people in the world who are kind to others, Father God, whether they're believers or not, Father. And we praise you, Lord, that you bless those who bless your people, Father God. So we praise you for this message today, and we lift up our church family to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. All right. So, Island of Refuge. That is the definition of the name of the island, Malta. Amen. When you look it up in the Phoenician language, and then later on in the Hebrew language, it means island of refuge, and that's exactly what it's going to be for Paul and his close friends in today's text. Amen?
Amen.
So 2 weeks ago, we left off with Paul and 275 of his closest friends, amen, at the time of this shipwreck anyways, and they had hit that sandbar, if you remember, just off the small island of Malta, and they had even just escaped that murderous plot by their captors as well, amen? And now they're faced with this treacherous swim or surf or whatever they had to do to get to the island, right? And they arrive at this island, and it's full of unknown people, amen? They don't know who they're going to face. They don't know if they're going to be nice, kind, mean, whatever. They have no idea. But God's providence was going to be with them as they landed on this island, amen? Some time ago, there was a small East Coast community that was struggling financially. So they called an open town meeting so they could discuss their problem. And there was a couple dozen people there, including a stranger that no one seemed to know. Most of the people assumed that he was just a tourist that had dropped in on the meeting. But this stranger, he started to make comments and offer various ideas to help them in their issues. But being a stranger, he was interrupted, amen? And so they interrupted him. They had other ideas. And so he would just keep quiet for the rest of the meeting. And that stranger ended up leaving early, okay? So just as the stranger was leaving, one of the late arriving residents came in asking with excitement, amen? He said, "What was he doing here, right? Is he going to help us?" And the others told him, they said, "Who are you talking about? Who was that man?" Amen? And the latecomer replied, he said, there he is. He said, "You mean you don't know? That was John D. Rockefeller. His yacht is in our harbor right now. Didn't you get his help?" they asked. John D. Rockefeller happened to be one of the richest men in the world at the time. Amen? And then someone cried out in despair, "No, we didn't get his help because we didn't know who he was. We didn't know who he was." They interrupted him, kind of ran him off. They didn't know who he was. My friends, God often shows up in our lives. That's the point. Amen? And in our church meetings, he'll show up. In our lives, he'll show up desiring to help us and bless us richly, but often we ignore him like some ignorant tourist as he works through different people in our lives, amen? And we miss out on the blessing because of that, okay? Because we don't recognize who He is, and we don't show kindness to strangers. Fortunately for everybody in today's text, these islanders are going to be on this small island of Malta. They're going to show extreme kindness, the text says, right? Extreme kindness towards some strangers who were in desperate need. But they would also get blessings in return for their kindness, okay? They're going to get blessings for that. Now, this island that they landed on, it was called Malta. And like I said, that name was a Phoenician name that meant a place of refuge or escape. And so they found refuge on this island of Malta, ironically, amen? And just as the angel of the Lord had said, all 276 passengers on that shipwreck were going to end up, or escape, I should say, onto this island of Malta. And our first verse says that once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. And the islanders showed us unusual kindness. There it is. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. Do you imagine that? A small island, okay? Who knows how many people, but it was being hospitable to over 250 shipwreck survivors, right? And, you know, having to feed them, had to keep them warm, and much, much more. The scripture said it was unusual kindness. And we're going to find out even more so why here in a minute. Because on top of that, they weren't even Christians or believers. Amen? They were pagans. They were pagans, but they were still going to show unusual kindness. God's providence was going to compel them to live up to this island's name of the Island of Refuge. You know, God places a high value on the trait of hospitality. Amen? He places a high value on that. And as Christians, we're called to be hospitable to all people, to love all people to Christ. That's our mission. Amen? That is our mission, which in turn, that's what it means, right? But all of mankind is called to be hospitable. Amen? All of mankind. Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Amen. I've held that in my heart for a long time. I love that verse because it reminds us to be kind to others. Amen. Because we never know, we could be entertaining an angel of God. Amen. Be kind to others. So not only are we as Christians called to be hospitable, but God will also treat unbelievers according to how hospitable they are to His people. Amen? And that kind of promise from God goes all the way back to Genesis 12, right? When God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Amen? Amen? That's God saying it right there. These islanders were going to show the greatest hospitality they could, and God was going to bless them for it. Amen? He would bless them for it. Could you imagine a scene, right? A bonfire, okay? With at least 300 people, with the islanders and everybody there. And they were going to have to feed them as well, right? Almost like a CR meal on some Tuesday nights, amen? 300 people gathered around. But, you know, they also got to keep this fire going, right? They got to keep this big bonfire going to keep all these people warm. They just came off swimming out of the ocean, amen? So verse 3 says, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself to his hand. Right? Starting to get exciting, right? I like snakes. I was going to bring a real snake and play it off, but I was afraid I might land on somebody or something. And then I thought about a fake one. I'm like, no, I'll just let it go. But anyways, verse 4 says, when the islanders saw the snake hanging from Paul's hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the shipwreck, the goddess, their goddess Justice, has not allowed him to live. Right? He must have done something really bad. Amen? And then verse 5 says, but Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Here's Paul. He's still a prisoner, right? He's still a prisoner, okay? But he just saved all their lives on this island. Amen. He got them to this island, saved all their lives, and they got them gathering sticks for the fire. Right? Guy just saved all their lives, and he's gathering sticks. They probably got Dr. Luke gathering all sticks, too, to add to the fire. Amen? At this point, Paul and Luke should have been the ones calling the shots. Right? They should have been at least not having to gather sticks and twigs for the fire, right? But they would be the ones taking part in manual labor again. Just like they did, remember, with the boat, when they pulled the boat up on the ship, right? That's what you call leading by example. Amen? Leading by example. That's what leaders do, right? No job is too small or for a true leader and servant of God. Amen? God has a job for all of us to do, but no job is too small for a true leader and servant of God. Paul was never above hard work and sacrifice, no matter how important his mission was. For him, the little menial tasks were just as important as preaching to Caesar in Rome. Amen? Anything that had to do with the greater good of the church and God's people, Paul was all for it, from the smallest task to the largest. Humble yourselves before God, and he will lift us up. Amen? Remember when Jesus was speaking to the two sons of Zebedee, he said to them, he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it, talking about the power over them, the Gentiles, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen? Jesus would even wash his disciples' feet, right? He was the model of being a servant, amen, and being kind. Paul was a great leader, amen? Jesus was the greatest leader, still is, amen? And any leader that would say, I'm too important to pick up brushwood for the fire, really is no leader at all, amen? And that's what makes a great leader in God's church, okay? Someone who's willing to do whatever needs to be done. We're going to talk more about that later in the announcements, okay? When Paul saw something that needed to be done, nothing was below his standards of service. No job was too small or menial for him. So Paul's putting this brush and sticks on the fire, but the only problem is one of those sticks was alive. Amen? One of those sticks just happened to be a deadly viper, and it was going to attach itself to his hand. The snake would grab hold of him, and they would immediately think that because of that, he was being punished as a bad person. So he just survived a shipwreck, and now he's getting bit by a snake. What'd this guy do? Amen? You see, their theology was different than those of believers in Christ. They were polytheists. They had many gods. Amen? And they would say in verse 4 that after the snake bit Paul, that he must be a murderer. He must be a murderer or something if now he's getting bit by a snake after escaping a shipwreck. They were convinced that their goddess, Justice, who took justice out on people for doing wrong, must have been angry and wasn't going to allow him to live. They're waiting for him to die. But Paul would shake that snake off. Amen? He would shake it off. Yes, they were pagans, but they had a sense of morality about them. Amen? They had a sense of morality, thinking that certain things in life were wrong and that punishment would be due for those wrongs. Okay? So they thought Paul was being punished. But they also believed that rights would be rewarded as well. Amen? Goes both ways, right? As Christians, we believe that as well, right? We believe it as well, but eternally. Amen? That we're all going to be judged according to what we do. Amen? According to what we do, we will be judged on the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Your rights as a receiver of Christ's grace are going to bring you the greatest reward someday. Someday, the greatest rewards. Yet, it also gives us the gift of morals today, which gives us peace in our lives today to help others and to serve God's church. Amen? These guys were not believers, okay? These islanders were not believers, yet they had this morality in their hearts, right? Now, where do you suppose they got that morality from if they weren't believers? They still got it from God, amen? They still got it from God. God puts that in the hearts of all men, right? It's just up to us to answer that call. It's up to us to receive it. It's called a conscience, amen? We don't have to have it, but God instills it in our hearts. Amen? Every single human being has it instilled in them by their Creator. Because God's all of our Creator. Amen? Some just don't listen. Some just don't want to listen. Every single human being has it instilled, but some don't want to listen. John MacArthur said, "The basics of God's moral law have been inscribed on our hearts by God Himself." The basics of God's moral law. These islanders of Malta had thought that their goddess was immediately punishing Paul with this viper. Amen? They were sure he was going to die. But no, Paul shook it off. There was no swelling. He suffered no harm. And in verse 6 it says, "The people expected him to swell up and fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing that nothing unusual had happened to him, they changed their minds and decided that he was going to be a god." Must be a god. If he can get through that, he's got to be another one of our gods, right? Probably had like 80 or 90 of them. So we see that they're a fickle crowd, right? They're a fickle crowd, right? With a fickle theology, okay? At first, they're writing him off, saying he's going to die. Must have done something bad. He's a murderer. This was going to be justice for that. But now, they see him survive, and all of a sudden, they're praising him. He must be a god. Right? Let's give him all the glory. You see, when Paul flicked off that serpent from his hand, he was actually fulfilling a prophecy of Jesus himself. Amen? He was fulfilling a couple of them we're going to talk about. And he was going to do it calmly because he remembered what Jesus had said in Luke chapter 10. They said, "The 72 returned with joy and said to the Lord, 'Even the demons submit to us in your name, Father.'" Right? And the Lord replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes," right? "And scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Amen. Nothing will harm. That's speaking to all of us. Amen. And so it appears that snakes were a common problem back then, I guess. Amen. And well, since the garden, right? The snakes had been a problem. Amen. You see, that snake represented Satan himself. That snake represented evil. Amen? And Jesus was going to make that promise in Luke 10 to his apostles and to every disciple. He would also send them out to expand his decree to others, right? The Great Commission. Amen? Amen? To spread the gospel and his promises. He would even say in Mark 16, here's another one. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues." Verse 18, "They will pick up snakes with their hands. And they will drink the deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will be healed." They will get well. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Paul had this viper hanging from his arm. Venom was being administered, poisonous venom, into his bloodstream, yet it didn't faze him one bit. Not one bit. He would remember that Jesus had said, "Shake it off," literally. Amen? Literally. Now, don't take it too literal today, though, okay? There are some churches in the South called the Church of God with signs following. Okay? And this is a picture of one of their pastors here. And you know, in these crazy services, they pass around deadly snakes, venomous deadly rattlesnakes, cobras, whatever. They go for the most dangerous snakes, amen. And they say, if it bites you and you die, that you didn't have enough faith. Right? I guess you're going to find out if you had enough faith after the snake bites you, right? But what a dumb and horrible way to die, right? Especially in church, right? These guys are playing with venomous snakes in church, right? And some still practice this, amen? Some still practice this. What Jesus really meant, okay, was that as you are committed to the Great Commission, there's going to be a spiritual protection over you. Amen. That's what it meant. It didn't mean that any snake could bite you and you're going to be okay. Amen? It meant that there was going to be a spiritual protection over you. Paul knew that God didn't bring him this far to be stopped by one snake. Amen? He hadn't got to Rome yet. Amen? He knew he wasn't going to be stopped by the snake because Paul believed in every word that Christ had promised. Every word. Amen? And so Paul shook it off because he knew the promise of the Lord. Right? He knew. How many things in our lives today can we shake off as well? Amen? How many things can we shake off because we know the promise of the Lord? No matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad it gets, amen? We can do all things through Christ and become all things through Christ. Amen? Amen? Regardless, amen. That's His promise. And so in their eyes, Paul goes from a murderer to a god, just like that, right? They're really going to roll out the red carpet now, okay? Because he's a god, amen? They're going to roll out the red carpet. Verse 7 says, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief Roman official of the island, like the governor of the island. He welcomed us to his home, and he showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. They're going to be hospitable to the god now, right? Their god, one of their gods. Now, I'm not sure if everyone on the ship had stayed together the whole time. A lot of people, remember, 276, because they'd be on that island for 3 months before they left, okay? 3 months they're going to be on this island. But for 3 days, they're going to be staying in the official's house, it says. And if they're all together, it must have been a pretty big mansion, right? To house 300 people, amen? Must have been a huge mansion. But what a generous thing to do, right? Not even knowing the healing power of God that would result from their stay, the official was going to welcome everybody into his home, right? He was going to show kindness. Verse 8 says, the official's father, who was staying in the house as well, was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery, and that Paul went in to see him. And after prayer, he placed his hands on him and healed him, right? Paid back for their kindness, amen? They say that Publius' father may have been suffering from what was called Malta fever. Amen? Malta fever was a disease caused by the milk of goats. And if it was left untreated, it was really bad. It would last for months, maybe even a couple years. But after laying his hands on Publius' father, God healed him. Amen? God healed him. We lay our hands on people, we anoint them, but they're being healed by God. Amen? Not by us. They're being healed by God. We've seen so many people being healed in this church by the laying on of hands. Amen? But remember, it's not the hands. It's the Spirit working through the hands that brings the healing. Amen? Paul prayed for him, but it was God that did the healing. It was a miracle in return for the hospitality, if you will, on this island of refuge. God's providence abounds as God's will is played out by everybody on this island. Amen? Verse 9 says that when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and they were cured. Amen? Amen? The rest of them came and they were cured. It reminds us of Jesus, right? When he was healing and then they started lining up, right? I would too. Amen? And verse 10 says, they honored them in many ways. They honored us in many ways for the healing that was being done. And part of that honoring would have been listening to Paul's preaching of the gospel, right? Which is Paul's whole mission, amen? Because you know he's not going to let this opportunity to witness to these people pass by, right? And God's providence. Amen. This is Paul. He lives for this. And many believe that he even planted a church on that island in those 3 months. Amen. And some even believe that Publius, that the leader there, the governor there, if you will, that he may have even became the pastor of that church. Amen? That was Paul's mission, right? That was God's will. Maybe that was the whole reason they landed on that little island. Amen? So that they could bring the gospel and a church to them people on that island. The rest of the verse says, and so it says they honored them in many ways, right? And when they were ready for sail, they furnished us with the supplies that were needed. The providence of God, providing what they needed to continue on their mission. Amen? Continuing to be hospitable, the Lord was going to provide for them for the rest of their journey. And verse 11 says that after 3 months, they put out to sea, meaning they went out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was another Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux, two more of their gods. Amen? These twin gods, they say, were the twin sons of Zeus. Okay? And it was believed that they were the patron idols for sailors. Right? Patron idols, right? They would protect the sailors when they were out at sea. Amen? So many sailors had their emblems aboard their ships to protect them, okay, from danger. Amen? To protect them just like any other idol worship of today. Right? I was raised Catholic. I know a lot of us were, right? And some of the Catholic idol saints that I grew up with, amen, were St. Jude. You see St. Jude on a lot of people's medallions and stickers on the back of their vehicles, amen. St. Jude is a patron saint of lost causes. People believe that they can keep on sinning and that St. Jude is going to protect them. Amen. Basically, that's basically what they think, right? So you see a lot of drug dealers and just, I mean, other people too, but you'll see a lot of people, they think this patron saint, St. Jude, is going to protect them from their sins. Amen? St. Nicholas. When I was a child, my mom gave me a medallion of St. Nicholas, and I used to wear it all the time. He's the patron saint to protect children. Amen? St. Nicholas. St. Christopher. A lot of people have the St. Christopher clips and buttons and whatever in their vehicles to protect them when they're driving. Amen? He's the patron saint of travelers. Okay? He's supposed to protect you when you're traveling. Okay? And one more, St. Patrick. Right? St. Patrick of Ireland. Okay? Right. He'll protect you from green beer. Okay? So we used to believe in all those, okay? We used to believe in all those, but today the only idol that me or anybody else needs is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? You don't need any of those other idols. Amen? All you need is Jesus. And so they had put out to sea, and it says in verse 12 that they put in means they arrived at Syracuse, which is, it means they got there, and they would stay there for 3 days. So here's my little map. Here's Malta down here. There's Syracuse right there, okay? Just leave it on that map, okay, as I go through the scripture here. They say that Paul may have even started another church in Syracuse, amen? He was there 3 days, amen? That he may have even started, that's what he did, right? He planted churches. Verse 13 says, from there, they set sail to Regium. Here it is right here, Regium. Right? Okay? And they arrived there, and that's the tip of the boot. See, this is Italy right here. See the boot? All right? So they're at the tip of the boot, Regium. And then it says, the next day the wind came up, and on the following day they reached Puteoli right here. Okay? So they're moving right along, right? They come through the strait here, and then they come up here to Puteoli right here, okay? Puteoli. And that's the Bay of Naples, they call it. And there they found some brothers and sisters who invited them to spend a week with them. And so they came to Rome, it says. Paul finally made it to the city that was going to fulfill much of his prophetic life. Amen? And that was Paul's, the apostle's mission for Christ. That's what he was called. He was called to get to Rome. Amen? And it says in verse 15 that the brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming. And traveled as far as the Forum of Appius right here and the three taverns, okay? to meet them. And at the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and he was encouraged. Maybe Paul needed a little bit more of encouragement to get him the rest of the way. Amen? But he thanked God and he was encouraged. And then verse 16 says, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Got his own apartment. Amen? Amen? Paul had finally arrived, okay? And he would prepare to give the message of all messages to the emperor. And tradition says that that same emperor would be the one that would take his life. Amen. And behead him. Amen? The same one he was going to give that message to. And so it says, the next day, the south winds had come up. They arrived there. Amen? And, you know, Paul was going to be treated nice, okay? God's will for Paul's life there in Rome and his mission on earth was going to end in that great city of paganism, that great city of Rome. They were going to show him hospitality as he got there, but his life was going to end there, amen? His life on earth anyways, okay? His destination was going to be his demise, okay? But he knew that. He knew that. His mission was always to be a martyr. Okay? He knew his mission was to be a martyr. Believe it or not, we're going to finish the book of Acts next week. Okay? We've been in the book of Acts for, I don't know, like a year and a half, I think, maybe, pretty close. I'll have the exact dates for you next week. But, you know, we're going to finish next week. But Lord willing, we're going to do justice to Paul. Amen? In Rome next week with the whole reason that he made this journey, this mission, and why he's there. Amen? And, you know, Paul wanted so bad to get to this ungodly city of Rome. And we might ask ourselves, why would he want to subject himself to that kind of danger? Why would he go where he wasn't wanted? Amen? Why would he want to submit himself to that kind of danger? And the answer would be that the light always shines the brightest in the darkness. Paul knew that. Amen? The light always shines the brightest in the darkness. Paul knew how important his mission was, and he believed the prophetic words that the angel of God had told him. Amen? He made it, and he was going to make the most of it by giving all the glory to God every step of the way. Amen? But see, Paul knew the influence that Rome had on the world, right? The great city of Rome. It had a lot of influence. It was the capital of the world. Amen? And he knew that if he could spread the gospel throughout Rome, God would be pleased. Okay? And the world would be a better place for it because more people were going to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen? And so unafraid and unashamed, as Paul always was, he arrives in the dangerous place I like to call, he arrives in the belly of the beast. Amen? And he prepares to speak to the leader of the Roman Empire and of the world at that time. That was his mission. He knew his mission. He knew how important his mission was. And he was going to do it unashamed and unafraid. Amen? And we're called to do that same thing today. Wherever we're at in our lives, whatever we're going through, whatever place we visit, we're called to proclaim that same gospel message in our homes, in our jobs, in our schools, in a jail cell, wherever we are, whenever we're there, we're called to give the great commission of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this mission reminder for us all, Father God, to be kind to others and to spread the gospel through that kindness. To let others know that there's hope, that there's peace, that you've gone to prepare a place for us all. We thank you, Lord, for instilling that conscience and that morality in our hearts from our birth, Lord. We praise you, Father, for every opportunity you give us to become more and more like you and to help others and to show kindness. We thank you for the family of God that we have here, Lord, and the kindness that we show not only each other, but those that are in need, those that are struggling, those that are hurting. Father, we praise you. We love all people to Christ, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Amen.